This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
You're tuned to WGNS on this Thursday morning, and today we'll be talking lawns and gardens, and we have in studio with us today Master Gardeners Jenny Schroeder and also Bill Bryson. How are both of y'all doing today?
Great, Scott.
Doing
hope you
great,
are.
Scott.
I am good.
So, a little chilly.
It is a little cold out there. I think it was cold
it
last time.
It is December, though, isn't it?
It is.
When I
turned
the calendar, it's supposed to be chilly, but maybe not quite this cold.
It actually feels like December.
It does. A great night for tomorrow night for the tree lighting and everything. It'll feel like it.
It'll feel like Christmas. That's right. Nice and cold. So what all is happening this time of year as far as lawns and gardens go, and what are people doing?
Absolutely nothing, Scott. No.
Perfect.
And
wraps
that's
up the
end
show.
Of the show. All right. No, actually, this is a great time to not be doing anything other than planning. This is a great time for planning. If you're thinking about gardening, or you're thinking about expanding your gardening, or what can I do to improve my garden, this is the perfect time to get out the pencil and paper and jot down, do I want to start a new area, a new raised bed? If I need to make a raised bed, get the wood together, get the materials together, the soil together, and go ahead and get ready for spring when spring comes. And good time to get soil samples. If the ground's not frozen, of course, a lot of people, we forget. We think we're going to stay this way the rest of through January and February. It's not. We'll be back to 60s before Monday, I think it is.
Yeah.
So you'll still be able to dig and get a soil sample and get that over to the Ag Center and let them let you know if there's any amendments you might need to put into your soil to get that ready for the growing season coming up. But again, it's a good time. Good time to plant trees if you not at 12 degrees, but if you get a 55 or 60 degree day, and great time to find sales on trees at nurseries and what have you. But it's a good time to plant those if you can still get out there and dig in the ground.
A lot of the land here in Rutherford County that has been turned into neighborhoods has been, I guess previously it was like farmland, or maybe it was land that you couldn't use for a farm because it was too rocky. Or maybe you had densely wooded areas at one point on what is now your home property. But what do people typically find, or what are some of the more negative things that they can find when doing those soil samples?
Oh, gosh.
Clay's usually the biggest problem around here. And especially when you talked about subdivisions and things like that, we seem to see the developers come in, they take the topsoil away to level everything down. Well, I don't know where the topsoil goes. There's some place somewhere that has the greatest load of topsoil available somewhere, but it leaves that under clay that we are so used to here in Middle Tennessee. And you did mention the rock too. You know, depending upon which direction you go in this county, you can find rocks coming to the surface pretty easily. It makes it a little more difficult to dig into, but raised beds then will work great there if you're stuck in that situation. But clay is one of those we have to amend and get some compost down there, kind of mix it up so that the soil will allow moisture to penetrate and it'll allow the nutrients to penetrate and what have you. So that clay is usually, I think, probably the number one thing that we run into in this part of the country.
And it's usually that red clay that stains everything.
Every pair of pants you own, you can't get it out. You know, it is there. So I keep a pair of work pants that I have dedicated to going to be discolored and worn out, kind of thing.
Or do some people, I guess what I was going to ask is, do some people dig up one side of their yard in order to put it in another side of their yard? Do they have to do stuff like that?
I mean, I've seen people do that before.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah. You're just trying to get it, you want it where it's easy for you to get to. When we were talking about raised beds, I know last month, making them out of wood, it's really good to measure that out. Now, you can make them 40, 50 feet long, but I recommend you don't make them any wider than 4 feet, because you want to be able to reach the middle easily from both sides. So if it's a 4 foot wide bed, you've got 2 feet to reach across on this side, the other side the same 2 feet, and you're not killing yourself walking into the vegetable or trying to reach over or can't get to it and make it easy on yourself. But yes, if you find you've got bad soil in one area but good in another, then I'd sure try to plant in the good soil and not the bad soil.
It makes more sense.
Less work. Yeah. Less work.
The raised beds do make a lot of sense as well. It makes it a whole lot easier. At least it seems like it's a whole lot easier because you're not getting down on your knees and doing all that stuff. And you're able to, I guess, better... You can put in better soil. You can actually go out and buy soil if you want to. It's a lot easier to do it that way.
You can control that soil bed as easily as anything with buying soil and putting in soil. And our nurseries actually sell, you know, if you have a pickup truck, you can get a bucket load dumped in your truck and shovel it in there, and you'll be easy to go instead of having to buy 100 of the little bags.
That's what we usually do. We go and get truckloads of, because they'll just do a bucket or two in the back of the truck, and we'll do that to put soil in our beds.
And then mix it with your existing soil?
We do, yeah. And we've done that because we have raised beds and a in-ground garden. We've got both. And I actually really love both. It's a little bit of an experiment for me, you know, as I've gotten more and more into gardening. So it's fun to experiment with different things in a raised bed versus the other and just see what does better for you. Bill and I were just talking about, you know, some of the things that we've tried to grow and how it's been successful for me, but not for him. And so, you know, everybody has a little bit of a different experience. But yeah, getting those buckets of soil, and we've done that and put it in the in-ground bed and amended the soil in the ground that way, but also just filled up. Because over time in the raised beds, that soil level does go down. So we find every year we have to add more soil and turn it in and fill it.
You're pulling plants
up,
and sometimes you're taking soil out with those plants. You know, we try to shake up as much as we can, put it back in there, but you don't get it all. And so you do have to top dress that sometimes. Mm-hmm. One thing right now that's unbelievable, if you have neighbors or what have you, I'm telling you, leaf mulch is mm-hmm. gold. It is just gold, and it is everywhere along the streets. Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate that we don't know their name. I've not found out who they are, but there's some people 3 or 4 blocks from us, and they bag their leaves. And so we go by and pick up the bag leaves. We take it and put that on our soil or our garden beds. We take the empty bags back and fold them up and leave them on their porch, and they fill them up for us again. And then we went by this week, and I got a whole pickup truck full of free leaves. But the leaves are great compost. Couldn't be any better. And something I heard this past week that I thought made a lot of sense, because a lot of people want to cut back their hydrangeas and what have you, and there are certain hydrangeas you should cut back now versus in the spring. But the hydrangeas, the big heads on those flowers and what have you, through the winter, those are great for birds to hide in, insects, you know, beneficial insects, things like that. And somebody said, take your tomato cages, the big round ones that we use, fill those full of leaves. And then the insects have a place to stay and hide out during the winter and be ready to go in the spring. And then it'll decompose right there in your garden and melt away and become great compost in your soil.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I just think we, as people in general, you know, we're in a society where everybody likes everything to be kept and nice and neat and maintained. Yeah. And having that kind of dead, unkept look drives some people crazy, including my husband. And so we've had this conversation in our house, and I mean, slowly he's coming around, because, you know, when fall hits, he wants to go out and clean up the entire yard. He wants to clean out the garden. He wants to cut it all down. And I'm like, can we please just like leave those stems for the birds and the insects? And he's like, why? And I'm like, because like I'm learning so much, and it's good for our native species, one, which I'm getting more and more passionate about. But yeah, keeping those things for the winter and cleaning them up in the spring when it's time to plant again is a really, really good idea. I do know some people who have had problems with their HOAs because HOAs want to like write letters about that. So I think there's just a lot of education we can do to help people understand the benefits of leaving those, you know, dead stems and flower heads and bushes over winter for the insects and the birds.
The dried seed heads on a lot of mm-hmm. flowering plants, we grow them up at Bradyville that we've told you about before for cut flowers. But we tend to leave them as long as we possibly can. The birds pick those seeds out. And, and when there's not other things, insects going around, we don't have all the mosquitoes that we get into in fall, it's a great food source for them. So it helps the whole cycle of living things when you can leave some of that and not be so annoyed by the fact that it looks a little unkept or uncluttered. It really isn't. It's just nature. And surprising part is when you go to pull those up and get rid of them at the very end of the season, like last week or what have you, they come out of the ground really easy. Mm-hmm. They surrender a whole lot more than they do when they have big, huge roots established underneath them.
Now, with raised bed gardens or just regular in-ground gardens, what are some of the animals that you have to kind of look out for throughout the year, or maybe even reptiles as well? But what do you have to watch out for?
I mean, our yard is fenced in, so we have a little bit different, because I know a lot of people have trouble with like deer. We've got a family of rabbits that live under our shed, so we have to worry about rabbits and moles and voles in the ground. Our dogs help keep those at bay a lot, but we do have those in neighboring yards. We know they're there. So those are a few things. I don't...
Well, the rabbits, of course, they're going to eat... Mm-hmm. First, it bothered me greatly because you plant the garden and go back. I've never been so frustrated to plant beans and come back 3 weeks later and the beans are all gone.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Well, the rabbits have eaten. So we plant enough.
Plant extra.
Now, my wife talks about plant. Exactly.
Plant extra
we
for
plant
the
enough for the rest of the animals. You know, if we can harvest some, they can harvest some too. But it is disappointing when you have deer, for example, who love hydrangeas. You plant the hydrangeas and you come by and you can tell they've just been chewed down to the stem.
They make a mess too.
They can tear up some stuff pretty easily. But, you know, it depends on what you can live with. But, yes, there are critters that are going to be out there and taking advantage of what you plant because it's easy harvesting for them. They're appreciative of the fact that you're helping them with the food chain. But there are ways and things you can do. There are plants that are resistant to deer or resistant to certain types of things. And there are some made-up stuff that you can sprinkle on plants that are deterrents, repellents to deer and squirrels and things like that. Right now we battle squirrels on our back deck because the flower beds, they want to put all those acorns and all that stuff and hide them away for winter.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, they're ripping up the pansies and throwing them out on the...
Yeah.
So you just have to live with them. They're living with us. We got to live with them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny if you're able to actually catch some of these animals in the act to watch them, because they do a really good job at digging stuff up.
And they get to the point where they don't care if you're banging on the window at them. It's like, what is that? I don't care. I'm going to just eat this anyway.
Well, we have dogs, and my one dog, she's really, really fast, and she is a hunter by nature. And so the squirrels, they are very brazen. And they come right up next to the house, and used to, if I would like crack the door and slam it, it would startle them and they would run away before I let them out, because I don't want her to kill the squirrels, right? Then I have to clean up a dead squirrel, or my husband does. And but they've gotten to where they don't even pay attention to the slamming door anymore.
It's amazing.
It's like being in a national park. They just kind of wander right past you.
Like being in the Great Smokies, and the bears and the deer come out. That's for
right.
sure.
Now, what are some of the things that you have seen grown here in Rutherford County that maybe people don't think about trying to grow?
Banana trees are just amazing to me how they've taken off.
Really grow here?
Well, oh, my goodness, Scott. They'll be 12, 15 feet tall. Now, I've not seen any fruiting. Doesn't mean they haven't. But I'm telling you, we see a lot of people adding banana trees, which I thought, and cactus here.
I've seen cactus.
You know, and usually when you see cactus, it's not just one plant. There might be 30 or 40 plants in a bed. They're beautiful, but you think, how do they make that through the winter? That doesn't sound like a logical thing to do. But that's two of the ones.
The one that came to mind for me was rhubarb. You know, you think about rhubarb being a cold weather plant, and it's in the north. I have a friend who lives in Montana, and she grows prolific rhubarb. I mean, she makes rhubarb everything.
Yeah.
And like, we've had, her sister has had her ship or some like to Tennessee, because, you know, I've always heard you can't grow it here, but there was a rhubarb plant, and we got it last year and we planted it. This was our second year. So next year, you know, what do they say? 3 years, the first year it sleeps, the second year it creeps, and the third year it leaps.
That's right.
That's what they say about things, new things that you plant. And so perennials. And so, our rhubarb has done wonderful. I think it does matter where you plant it because you don't want it in full sun. So we've got it on the side of the shed. But it has done really, really well. That's excited to get some rhubarb next year.
Well, I miss rhubarb. Growing up in Michigan, that was a plant that we could grow very well. And we'd go out, pull that stalk off, get a little handful of sugar in your hand, and you dip that stalk that looks like celery in your hand and eat it. Oh, that was great. That was a great
I'll have
treat.
To get you some rhubarb next year when we harvest.
What else can you use it for?
Rhubarb pies are great. Rhubarb and strawberry pies.
Rhubarb crisp.
Yeah.
Is it a tart flavor? What is
it? It is very tart. It's very tart. You do have to cut it with sugar, but it's great.
Pairs really well with strawberries, like strawberry rhubarb muffins.
And then going back to the banana trees, the whole idea of growing bananas here in Tennessee is quite crazy. But when do those usually start to blossom, or when should they?
Oh, I don't know about blossoming banana plants.
We'd have to look that up.
But I would assume in the middle of late summer, I would assume that's when the flowering time would come. But I'm amazed, and folks cut them. I mean, they'll get huge stalks on them. They can be trees and not just plants up against around your house. They're pretty big. They can do well, and the leaves are gigantic. You know, they're big size.
So I wonder what else you could grow here that people don't think about trying out, or maybe they have tried it and it's working out great for them. I don't know.
I anybody calling and asking? I know last time we had some interesting questions, but I don't know. Maybe they'll call in and let us know. I don't know much about those exotic plants.
You know, I've seen people try to grow palm trees here. They would, I guess, buy them in somewhere like Florida, bring them here and attempt to grow them, but they don't seem to last that long.
Well, they just don't endure the winter. I think it's not so much the heat, but the winter time. And if you have a greenhouse, there's a lot of people that have small greenhouses, and it's an excellent way to hold plants over, whether it be ferns or tropical plants, more tropical plants, aloe vera and different things like that we're familiar with, where you can set them in the greenhouse and keep that temperature up all winter long, and then pull them back out and use them as patio plants. Or some people dig them up and put them in put them in the greenhouse, then put them back in the ground the next year. But at some point, it's going to outgrow your greenhouse, I think. So you're going to have to figure out how to do that.
Now, these greenhouses that you can buy online, or you can buy at, you know, the hardware store, that are just, they don't look like they're made to last for years, but they obviously will last a season or two. Do those really do that much good, or is it just plastic covering the plants? I mean, what does it boil down to?
Well, it is plastic covering the plants, but some of those structures that are, 6 foot tall, 8 foot, you know, you can buy kits that you can put together fairly easily. You may have to decide, it to me is a tease, because when you get that small one, you know, remember the old saying about when you build a wood shop, build it twice the size that you think you need, because you're going to use every bit of it, and then you're going to still want more. Well, I think the same thing happens with greenhouse. You know, they come on over here, have this greenhouse. You can start your plants earlier. You can, and yes, you can. But then the next thing you know, you fill that greenhouse, that little one up, and now you want a bigger one. So it's contagious. I think it can be, but. To your question, it will do fine, I think, through the winter, but you may have to put some type of warming element or some type of heating element in there to keep it from going. Because if it's outside, it's going to be pretty much the temperature, especially at night, that temperature is going to be 12 degrees above. It's going to get 12, 14 degrees, depending upon how much ambient heat it holds from the daytime. But it could heat up in the daytime again on a sunny day inside that enclosed area if you're not careful, and you could burn those plants up. So you got to have a little bit of knowledge and education about how those greenhouses work to help you.
I bet. Here's a question. It says, I am 23, and my question might be a little strange. My grandmother had a plant when I was growing up. I remember she would break off a piece of the plant for her friends, and it would grow. My mom doesn't remember this, so she can't help. I would really love to know what kind of plant this was and purchase one for myself. The plant would grow quite messy with branches everywhere. I appreciate any help. So a plant that her grandmother used to grow, I guess, that you could break off something and plant that something in the ground and it grows.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is maybe a Christmas cactus. You know, Christmas cactuses get kind of bushy and kind of
all over the place.
You can't really control how they grow. They just become kind of like a fern. but beautiful blooms on them usually around Christmas time.
Do they look like a cactus?
A mini cactus. No thorns or anything, but just jointed like a cactus would be. But that may be it. And then the other one I was thinking about is, it's a violet type one. Do you know, Jenny, the one that that just makes a vine and people, they keep them indoors? No? Loss? Okay, I can't think of it right now. But there are several plants like that. And where I'd suggest to go look, if this person can remember the appearance of it, I know that the Home Depot here has a big greenhouse indoors and has a lot of indoor plant material. And I think it's philodendron.
Oh, yes.
Philodendron. It's easy to grow. People would pinch pieces off and put it in water, and it would root, and you could pass it on to somebody else. But go there and take a look right now, especially, and I bet you might be able to discover what that could be.
And it said the leaves look very ivory-like.
Ivory-like.
Ivory. I mean, that could still be a philodendron.
It still could be. The philodendron's not all green. Some of them are the
variegated.
Yeah. Yes, with almost a cream color to them. Mm-hmm. They grow indoors as well. They won't. You could put them on the patio during the summer here, but they don't do real well year round outside.
And then another question we had: can you grow agave in Tennessee?
Indoors, I think you can. A lot of people put it in their windowsill and use it when they have. Agave. I'm thinking of aloe vera.
You're thinking
I'm sorry.
Of aloe vera.
I heard one thing and you said the other, Scott.
Is agave so used for tequila or something?
I would not know that. Scott, how would you know?
It is like a swear rare.
It is. I'm just joking with you. No, that is. That's why it threw me. But I
honestly have never heard of agave being. I don't know anybody who's grown agave
successfully.
Here.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. I think it's more of the Mexico and Southern America.
And it does look like aloe.
It does.
I think it does.
The plant. A giant, you know, on
giant
steroids.
Version, yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, talking about lawns and gardens this morning. If you have any questions or maybe ideas about lawns and gardens, whatever it is, then text it in to us right now at 615-893-1450. Again, 615-893-1450. We have Master Gardeners Jenny Schroeder and Bill Bryson both on the air with us this morning. So again, text us any questions you may have and we'll try to get you some answers. 615-893-1450.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Life changes, then it changes again. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. A job loss, change in health, or loss of a loved one can have a big impact on your family's financial security. Let's work together to help make sure that you're equipped for life's unexpected events. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. Demas has offered gift cards that you can get in any value. You know, those times where someone gives you gifts you weren't really prepared, it's one of those things that's nice and easy to hand back out, but they're amazing gifts for teachers, for family and friends, and we always offer specials depending on how many gift cards that you get as well. You can go straight down to the restaurant, and our cashiers are happy to help you with any of those gift cards. Demas's Restaurant. 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at your Rutherford Farmers Co-op. If you're looking for that unique Christmas gift, please come see us. We have everything you need for your holiday season. We have the clothing that will keep you warm from our Carhartt to your feet with our muck boots. We also have a great selection of fashion clothing for our ladies. And if you're looking for a unique gift, say for your patio, we also have our wonderful handmade wooden furniture. That's all here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center just off of South Church.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
You're tuned to WGNS again on this Thursday morning, and we're talking lawns and gardens with Master Gardeners Jenny Schroeder and also Bill Bryson. And during that last, or right before that last break, we got into a few plants that you may be able to grow here, and maybe people don't just do it much, or maybe you can't grow it here at all.
Well, it's always worth giving it a try. All you'll do is find out it won't. That's the only thing.
That's the worst that could happen right
there.
That's
the worst that can happen.
It just won't grow.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention to you, we're excited about coming up next year. Now, it's June of 2025, but we are excited. It's going to be a great, great event. Conservation Lawn and Garden Expo out at the Ag Center. And this is going to involve city and county agencies out at the center. There'll be lots of tours of gardens and classes, but it'll be a great time for folks to come out and talk to their ag agents and also visit the gardens out there and get questions answered during the start, peak start of tomato growing time and all those good things, warm season grasses and things like that. So we want to make sure of that. And Jenny wanted to mention one other thing about the Master Gardeners.
Yeah, so one thing that you can be thinking about and do right now, the application is open right now for the Master Gardener program for 2025. So if you go to rutherford.tennessee.edu/master-gardener-program. That's the website. The application is online, and you just fill out that application, get that back to the extension office with your payment. Those classes start January the 28th. It goes every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to noon for 14 weeks. This is the program that I did this year, and so I'm finishing up my internship now, and will be certified coming up here in a few weeks. And it's been a really great experience. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in gardening, if you're interested in learning more and just being part of the Master Gardener community, this is a wonderful opportunity that that our extension agency offers. And I just can't highly recommend it enough. So the applications are open right now. You can go and get all the information at that website.
And these classes cover all areas from soil, water, everything. You'll learn a tremendous amount. And one of the other benefits I think that's great is you'll be surrounded by other people. So we have some master gardeners that are over 20 years master gardeners mm-hmm. out there. So their knowledge is extensive, and between the ag agents and the folks surrounding you, you'll be blessed with knowledge about anything. And you can, we have a Facebook page that questions always come up. I'm growing this or I'm growing that. Or the other thing is, it's hard to go to a meeting. They have monthly meetings with different speakers coming in on different topics. And it's hard to go meeting from meeting without having people bringing in plant material they have too much of and they want to share. And it's a great way to get new varieties of iris or new varieties of pumpkins or what have you. So it's been a great experience. This is Patty and I, my wife and I, and Jenny is one of those interns from this year. And I think if you're interested at all in improving your skills and growing, understanding horticulture, understanding how everything seems to work together, whether the environment we're in, why do we grow things in Middle Tennessee that they can't grow in West Tennessee? Why is the soil different here than the soil there and just 3 hours away? But you'll learn a lot.
Yeah. I was about to say, you know, the great thing about living in Middle Tennessee, you can grow things here that you cannot grow in really a lot of other parts of the country.
That's right.
I mean, if you've traveled any at all, you can see that, man, there's so much space out there that is just not usable for the majority of plants or vegetables or even fruits in some cases.
And I truly believe every time you're digging in the garden or digging in the yard, you're having a good experience for the most part. I think a lot of people enjoy, I hate to say the pun, the fruits of your labor, but seeing the trees, you know, leaf out, seeing them blossom if they bloom, dogwoods, what have you, apple trees, fruit trees. But you planted that tree. You put that tree in the ground and you nurtured it, and now you're getting to enjoy the benefits of it, whether it be shade or fruit or what have you. So, yes, I think it's a great thing. And if you do enjoy that at all, check into that. If you can't find the website, call the Ag Center out there on John Ripes Boulevard, and they'll sure hook you up with an application.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine living, you know, like in a desert environment, be it Texas or California, Arizona. You just couldn't. There's so much you would not be able to plant. plant.
Well, and that's true. And I have a close friend who has a home in Phoenix, and we were fortunate enough to go out there, and it's desert. Now, it's not my cup of tea. Desert is not my... Now, I enjoyed it for the week I was there, but cactus and rattlesnakes and scorpions are not on my list of to-dos and want to be around.
Well, one of the things, too, this year that has really been eye-opening for me, I just never thought about it before. You know that there's different things in different areas of the world, and I've been in a lot of different places in the world, and I know that to be true, but it really has resonated with me this year going through this program. The special place that we live, because we are in the Cedar Glades, there's no other place like this in the world. And so there are different flora that we have here that's been really fun to learn about and interested to see. I was in Hawaii over the summer, and there is a really particular plant, and I can't remember the name of it. It only grows in that one place, in that volcanic soil in Hawaii. And so it's fun to just like seek those things out, the different places that you visit and travel to. Our world and our communities are so different. So it's been really fun to even just learn that through this program.
And there is definitely a lot of things you can plant here in our soil that you can actually eat, but you can't do that in other areas.
Sometimes you're right.
Another text we had here, it talks about how they have they moved into a new home. It's a new build. It says they have sod in their yard, and they were excited about that until they started seeing clover patches and weeds pop up in that soil, or in that sod rather. And they're asking what they can do to easily fix this, because they have a very expensive front yard of grass.
I got you. Well, now is a good time, I think, to look at putting down preventative weed killers for right now that you can get. What it'll do is keep the any of the seeds from hatching and coming to fruition come spring when we get to the warmer temperatures. And again, you can check TennesseeHort.org is a great website, easy to use. Most of the time, if you've brought sod in, you may have weeds that came from the sod farm when it came. Mm-hmm. The other is you may have had weeds that were in the soil bed underneath the grass when you brought the sod in, and now it's coming up through there. But there are several ways. TennesseeHort.org, and look under lawns. It will help you with whether you have warm season lawns or Kentucky fescue, more of a cool season grass, and it will advise you on how to preventatively put those chemicals out to make sure you have the fewest. It sounds like the person wants that beautiful lawn and garden, and you can have it. It's not that hard. It's just a couple treatments a year. You'll be good.
And just a plug for our extension agents. We have wonderful extension agents in Rutherford County, and there is an agent specifically. He specializes in turf, lawn and turf. And so, you know, if anybody out there is having trouble, a specific issue with some of the grasses or just turf in their yard and questions, our extension agents are there to help serve us too. So they're available. All you have to do is call the extension office or even go by the extension office. I was helping answer phones at the extension office a week or so ago, and a gentleman came in with pictures from his lawn, and he's like, "What's going on with this patch of grass?" And you know, the agent was able to help answer some of his questions.
And I know one of the things that they love is if you'll pluck one of those invasive things that you don't like, whatever that weed is, and show them, they'll be specific in helping you, as opposed to saying, "Well, it's got four leaves on it and it kind of turns, you know," then it's a variety of things. But if you can, like Jeannie said, take a picture or take a sample out there. Clover is one of those that can get rampant pretty easily, and you can knock it down pretty quickly. The other I've seen this year, which is amazing to me, is chive, or the wild garlic.
Yeah.
It has just been prolific this year, and I don't know whether that was because of the drought that we had and then went into warm temperatures. I don't know, but those two things can be invasive pretty quick, but check with the ag agent. They'll be able to help you.
You know, here in Rutherford County, we're seeing smaller and smaller yards because the lot sizes are getting very small because there's not as much land to sell to build houses on. But with that, we're seeing a lot of sod brought in.
Right.
Could some of this sod that is being brought in, could it bring with it invasive plants or weeds that maybe are not native to Rutherford County itself?
I wouldn't think so, Scott, because, you know, most of your sod farms are not going to deliver from Mexico. You're not, no. or Argentina or what have you. The sod farms are probably that you're getting grass, even if you went to the big box stores, you know, buying some sod from them. to fill in patches or what have you. They're coming from within 100 to 200 miles probably. So they're, one is you want grass that's going to grow in your area that, you know, you don't want it to come from Montana because they're going to have a different kind of grass out there and it may not do well here. But I believe that, probably not going to get many invasive things or unusual things like that. It'll be common things like clover or things like that that you, again, you may have had in your soil bank already that just got exposed when they tilled it up to plant the, you know, to level the yard to put the sod down. And that comes to life. Now it's come up close to the surface, the water and can get to it. The heat can get to it and all of a sudden it sprouts. But,
and we're also seeing more and more people put in that fake turf type grass in their backyards as the yards get smaller. Is that a bad thing to do to your backyard?
I don't know. I don't know that I've seen, it's not my cup of tea, but I wouldn't destroy it if somebody else wants to have that so they have low maintenance and can have a pretty putting green all the time. I have seen people put in, you know, little mini golf courses with putting greens out of the artificial. So I think it can properly be done, and it obviously would cut down on maintenance to some extent. Now, I bet there's other type of maintenance that you have to do, whether it's getting rid of the leaves or getting rid of the different things. But, I think it's okay as long as you don't do the whole world that way. I'll be happy.
we're almost out of time because we got to fit one more commercial break in as we close this morning. But as we do close, what are, again, the things that are coming up that people can be a part of? Maybe they want to become a master gardener again.
The Master Gardener program, the application is open. Next year, just to put a plug out there, next year we will have some workshops. Once a quarter, we're going to do workshops that'll just involve a variety of things. Think winter sowing, how to use the harvest, how to preserve the harvest, soil, trees, birds.
Saw bonsai is one of those topics.
Is a topic that we're considering. So there will be workshops available. I will have more information about those as we go into the next year, the new year. Yeah, I think the first one is coming up January the 11th or 18th. Gosh, I wish I had that date.
It's okay.
At the top of my head.
Check with the Ag folks at the Ag Center.
Yeah.
They're really great. They're just super folks at helping.
And the Ag Center is located on John R. Rice Boulevard, just down from the Sam's Club. Easy to find.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, thank you both for joining us.
We're
this morning.
Grateful to you always grateful to WGNS for letting us spread the good word about growing stuff.
And hopefully we won't be running behind next time we're on.
Don't worry about it. We're great. Everything's good.
Again, with us today, Master Gardeners Bill Bryson and also Jenny Schroeder.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Santa Claus is coming to Animal City. Santa will be here Saturday, December 14th from 12 to 3. We are proud to be hosting Music City Animal Rescue and their lovely Santa Claus. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. Come get pictures with your pets of all types and your family and benefit a great cause. That's Saturday, December 14th at Animal City on Broad Street. We'll see you there.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.